Hey, John.
Hey, Nick.
I haven't seen you in like a year.
No, we're not going to do that.
Yes, we are. It's too late. I've already put in the episode.
Okay, well, let's get this over with.
This is Stranger Still. Welcome to Stranger Still,
a pod stash where you keep all the knowledge and give it to you.
My New Year's resolution is to introduce this show correctly for once.
Okay. Well, we're off to a bad start.
We're off to a great start.
I'm John Vegan.
I'm Nick Wood. It's the new year, everybody. How you doing? That's good. I wasn't going to give you time to reply. Are you feeling energized to change your life? I feel like I'm like about to start an MLM pitch to people.
Yeah, you're like life coaching us now.
Yeah. Well, that's because today, John, we're talking about New Year's resolutions.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone has one. And by everyone, I mean about 50% of the population has a New Year's resolution.
Wow. Is that scientifically backed?
Yeah. Well, you know how statistics are. They're not perfect. And I came across a lot of statistics while researching this that were contradictory to each other. I'll talk about that later. I have some shade to throw at a website.
And I've got some background as to why humans like to organize.
Well, there's a lot of weird things to explore with New Year's resolutions. But for those who might not know, New Year's resolutions, what are they, John?
New Year's resolutions are when you decide that you want to lose weight. And on the 31st, you don't want to lose weight.
You're like, I'm gonna shove my gullet full of food one last time, and then tomorrow I'm going to stop.
Yep, so many gullets full.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden you're like, nope, it's a magic day.
It's a magical day.
It's a clean slate.
Tinkerbell, like, sprinkled pixie dust, and it's a new day, magical new day.
Mm-hmm.
It's the best reference for magic I got right now.
It's Tinkerbell sprinkling pixie dust.
Yeah, it makes you fly or something. I don't know.
Are they going to redo that one with real humans soon, too?
Probably. They've made plenty of live action Peter Pans. Anyway,
Hook,
let's move on.
Hook.
There was also just like Peter Pan.
Yeah, Hook was very really good though.
So when do you think the first people to celebrate by making
Egypt.
New Year's resolutions? No, you're wrong. It's not Egypt.
Okay, prove it.
Well, let me pull out this scroll of New Year's resolution history. Well, the first like documented instance of New Year's resolutions came from a group of people I don't think we've talked about yet, just the Babylonians. Have we talked about them?
No.
They're around 4,000 years ago. They're still in the cradle of civilization around Mesopotamia, modern day Iraq. And they celebrated the new year when they planted crops, which was like toward the middle of March. And you think that us celebrating New Year's is crazy. It's this magical day. They had a 12-day-long celebration to celebrate the coming of the new year.
Yeah, and not dying.
And, well, that's true. They had a lot more going for them. This festival was called Akitu, and they did...
Is it a key to success?
It was a key to success.
Did I throw you off?
Yes.
Keep going.
So at the celebration, among other things, they would pay off their debts and they made promises to their gods for the coming year. And they believed that if they kept the promises to the gods would look down favorably upon them for that year. And if they didn't, they like the gods would smite them or whatever.
Yeah. So do you think that they were really weird, probably?
Yeah.
Like they had weird resolutions?
Yeah. Like I promised that I'm going to...
Stop eating dirt.
I'm not going to eat those poisonous berries anymore, even though I don't like them. I'm
not going to put grass in my sister's ear.
Like, while she's sleeping.
What do they do back then, you know?
What kind of pranks did they have back then?
Oh, Babylonian pranks are the best. Oh, I murdered you. Gotcha.
You're dead. So later on, the Romans came around, and in 46 BCE, Julius Caesar changed the beginning of the year to the 1st of January. And January, as some might know, is named after, appropriately, the Roman god Janus. Not, like, Janet. Janus had two heads, one that looked forward and one that looked behind them. And they believed that at the beginning of the year, Janus would look back on the previous year and look forward to the coming year. So the Romans kind of adopted this practice in their own lives by looking back on the year and seeing what they did wrong and then looking forward to the coming year and making changes to better themselves.
That's odd, and that reminds me of I watched Blue Planet recently, and there's an octopus that has one eye that's permanently down and one eye that's permanently up.
That's weird.
So it could like monitor predators.
Yeah.
And I wonder if they had, if these civilizations had access to more science, if we, they'd like have more references to like stuff like that.
Octopuses and stuff. Octopods. A lot of names you can call them. But then finally Christians came around, and like they always did, they just kind of took the ideas from other people. And on the first day of the new year, it became, as you'd expect, a time to look back on all the mistakes you've made in the last year and go into the next year promising to do better by yourself. And so eventually this just, as many things did with the Christian faith, the practices just became common throughout all European cultures, despite what you believed. And that's kind of why we celebrate it today.
Yep.
Have you ever made any New Year's resolutions?
Not officially. I've never had so much belief in it because I always had that idea that, like, it's just a day.
Yeah.
But also, what interested me is, I mean, I think this could be a good place to tell you a little bit about what I found.
Yeah.
Because I'm always intrigued by the fact that humans like to organize.
Yeah, so it's totally stupid.
Well, I wanted to know, like, why do we feel that, okay, it's the first, this is it.
Yes, like, this is, we're doing it.
Yeah, and it's because of pretty much like commerce and capitalism, fella.
Yeah.
So we,
that makes sense.
What we did is I found something from the Smithsonian, and it said,
it's a good place.
The U.S. National Time Standard, for instance, didn't emerge until 1883, when it was adopted by the railroads, which needed to maintain common timetables. And then before that, cities largely had to keep their own local time.
Yep.
And many were not happy to have big government and big railroads force standardization on them.
Yeah.
And there was a quote here that says, "Let the people of Cincinnati stick to the truth as it is written by the sun, the moon, and the stars." Editorialized one newspaper, the changeover was going into effect.
Yeah.
So in order to make more money, we decided to start using time. And
well, I feel like maybe not so much to make more money, but back in the day, the railroads were so confusing because, like, here in Iowa, the time could be noon and like 500 miles away, not that far.
Okay.
Like 100 miles away, it's like 11:58. So the trains would be totally messed up.
No, you're right. You're right. But the reason that it stuck around was because it was important to keep time for business.
Yeah.
Is what it seemed, at least. And so historically, countries have not eagerly embraced the global clock because they felt compelled to do so because of the demands of commerce. But then I also found another study that talked about Mexico and Latin America versus America and Europe.
Yeah.
And how we perceive time versus how they do.
Sure.
And they seem to be more leisurely and chill. So I wonder if that affects their New Year's resolutions and stuff too. Like,
oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Like, you have the Chinese New Year's that are completely off from our New Year's,
mm-hmm.
just because they still observe the traditional calendars. Because time is just stuff we make up.
Yeah.
Ultimately, like, there are cycles that we go around the sun, and I mean, everything kind of moves outward from there, but it's all just made up to make us feel better. So I don't know,
that's the very last thing, and then I swear I'll let you keep going.
Yeah.
Because I was like, well, if time is made up, then why do people think we have biological clocks?
Yeah.
And I found that there's studies in that where it said, this is from another Smithsonian article, that there's one area of the brain or system in the brain that is solely dedicated to recording the passage of time.
Yeah.
It says Mark Whitman, a leading theory is that we are endowed with the biological equivalent of a stopwatch. The brain emits a steady stream of pulses and subconsciously tallies how many were produced during a specific interval. Maybe 100 in your brain equals 1 minute. Research suggests that our brains run multiple stopwatches simultaneously, depending on the kind of task we're engaged in.
Yeah.
So if you're having fun, you seem to give more of those waves, and that's why you think that, like, boring things take
time
longer.
Time flies when you're having fun.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's, I don't know. Time's weird. Mm-hmm. And for me, like, I've never really set hard New Year's resolutions because I'm like, this is, again, it's all made up. Who cares? But I might change that this year. It's just a good starting point. Because I'm always like, if I'm going to be better, I'll just be better. But maybe it's good to have a starting point, right? Jumping off point.
It's easier to measure.
Yeah, absolutely. So, as I said before, about, like, half of adults make New Year's resolutions. There's one article on Psychology Today that said only 52% of people that make New Year's resolutions are confident about them being able to achieve the goals that they set. So right off the bat, not a good start for New Year's resolutions. I have the top 10 New Year's resolutions, I believe, worldwide from the Statistics Brain Research Institute for 2017. Do you want to try to guess what they were?
Weight loss.
That is...
I'm going to say two.
Number one.
Well, there you go.
Interesting. Exercise more is number seven. So I guess... those aren't.
Yeah, it's eating, I think.
Yeah.
It's everyone's big deal.
What do you, number 10, I'll just go through the list. Number 10 is finding love. Number 9 is doing good for other people. Number 8 was learning something new, like a new language or a new skill. 7 was exercising more. 6 was spending more time with family and friends. 5 is do more exciting things. 4 was quit smoking. 3 is save money. 2 is self-improvement. So I guess that's just all over, all like mental health, physical health, all that stuff. And then 1 is lose weight. And I found a bunch of other stats. This seemed to be the most reliable because like I went to Statista.com and they had like spelling errors all over their website. So
yikes.
Like they spelled connecting with one N. I was like, I'm not trusting you. But again, it's statistics. So it's not going to, I mean, it's just like a survey that they put out there. It's not going to capture everyone. It's just an estimate. So what percentage of people do you think are actually able to hold their New Year's resolution after February?
5.
So 2 months. 5%?
Yeah.
It's a little bit higher.
Maybe it's because I work retail and I lost faith in humanity recently.
Maybe. This number is pretty unanimous. I saw anywhere from 9 to 12%. So basically 1 out of 10 people will achieve their New Year's
resolution.
So you were
trying to pull a fast one on me then. I was pretty close.
Yeah, you were. I mean, you were pretty close. It's, I mean,
single digits.
Yeah. And I want to talk about how experts and psychologists recommend going about your New Year's resolution in order to best keep them. But this is the part of the show where I fear I'm going to start sounding like John Tesh. Where I'm like, this one study says stick a note on your mirror and it increases the likelihood you're going to follow your New Year's resolution by 36%.
I'm going to email John Tesh. We didn't forget about you.
We're coming after you.
We're coming after you, John.
I just want to point out, like, I understand he's on the radio. He has like 30 seconds to explain a study to you. That's why he does it that way. But on this show, we recognize that psychology isn't a perfect science. We've talked about it a lot, that there's different schools of thoughts and they don't like to communicate with each other. So if one psychologist believes that, that's like all they believe. And then over here, there's this other psychologist, and there's almost no overlap between them. But I also know that what one person recommends for someone will work for a certain subset of people and not other people. That's why like fad diets are huge, because they work for some people.
Right.
You see the results, but it doesn't work for everyone.
Yeah. Like I'm on a flat diet right now.
Yeah. Where the earth is flat.
No. You slash your tires till they're flat and then you can't go to the store to get groceries.
You're just stranded and you have to eat dirt.
Yeah.
You're going back to Babylonian times.
And hard pasta. No water.
No water. So, That's all I'm going to say, is that I'm going to run through some of these suggestions. I kind of pulled them from all over the place, some experts, some professors, some psychologists. But I encourage you to figure out what works for you and don't just say, like, I'm sticking to that and I'm going to do that. And if it doesn't work, then I'm a failure.
We should set up another mic for when you snap off to the side.
Yeah.
Get
Can you
nice,
hear that?
Yeah, get a nice crisp.
Yeah, you got to isolate that sound. So the first thing that pretty much everyone suggests is to set specific goals. So when we go through that top 10 list, all of these are these grandiose ideas like find love or spend more time with family and friends or exercise more. That's like way too daunting when you're setting goals.
Yeah, set like a small one. Like maybe I'll get someone I think is cute to send me a picture of their butt. that's a baby step.
I'm gonna change my Reddit username to PM me your cute butt.
Yeah,
that's how you go.
PM me your cute butt.
So if you want to lose weight, maybe that's your overarching goal. But be more exact. Like I want to go on a walk at least once a week.
Mm-hmm.
Or I want to stop buying that morning coffee.
Can I give you a compliment on that perfect goal?
Yeah.
Because saying, I want to go from 139 to 140, like, you
That's
know,
way too exact.
It's way too exact. Saying, I want to go for a walk is, like, just the right amount of
commitment.
Yeah.
And the other thing, too, is, like, just because you set that specific goal doesn't mean you can't move the goalpost once you achieve it. So let's say a month in, I've gone on a walk every single week at least once. Now maybe I want to go on a walk twice a week.
Mm-hmm.
Or if I want to save money, I stop buying that morning coffee, and then you're done buying that morning coffee. You don't need it anymore. So then you're like, maybe I'll stop buying that brownie after lunch or whatever.
Yeah.
And that kind of kills two birds with one stone. But the other thing,
maybe I'll stop throwing rocks at birds.
Yeah, that's mean. What did PETA say to do? Oh, feed two birds with one scone. Did you see that?
Yeah, that was on TYT too.
So
and
bad.
They really ripped it to shreds.
It's so good. There's so many good memes. Anyway, the other thing is don't throw a bunch of resolutions at yourself at once. So if you're like, I'm going to lose weight, I'm going to save money, I'm going to find love, like that's even more daunting than the overarching goals, and you're never going to accomplish any of those. So maybe you do want to do those by the end of the year, but focus on one of them at a time.
Yeah.
Like I'm going to go on a walk, and then once I get that down, then I'm going to start saving money. And then once I got that down, then I'm going to stop smoking, whatever.
Yeah.
And then kind of the last one that pretty much everyone suggests is telling someone about your New Year's resolution.
And giving them, yeah, tell someone about your New Year's resolution and give them the anecdote and take poison.
Yeah. That's a antidote.
Oh.
Oh.
I was being anecdotal.
That's funny.
Antidotal.
That's really funny, John.
Thanks.
It's funny stuff.
My resolution is to be funnier.
You got a lot of work to do. So this is, personally, I don't think that this helps me, but people say having that outside peer pressure, having an accountability partner, I feel like I'm going to stop smoking, my friend smokes, and we go to smoke breaks together. We're both going to stop smoking. We're going to hold each other accountable. I don't think that that helps me, because I feel like once I get the idea out into the universe, it's easier to be like, well, that's done. I don't need to do it anymore. it's up to you guys. It's just my personal feel on it. But if it works for you, it works for you. I think, like, quitting smoking is contagious, pretty much, from what I hear. So that might be a good one to have an accountability partner.
How come nobody ever wants to do unhealthy things for New Year's resolutions?
I'm sure people do. They're like, I'm going to go get wasted.
I'm going to start smoking. Yeah. And you don't like it, so you got to like really work at it.
Yeah.
Cigarette a day.
It's awful. Work I'm your start way vaping. Yeah. That's my New Year's resolution.
I'm going to get addicted to nicotine gum.
Popcorn lung. So there's kind of two schools of thoughts from here. This is why I went on that whole rant about psychology. And I think that they can easily go hand in hand, but of course we can't overlap the two schools of thoughts. So there's kind of two schools of thoughts I'm going to call rewarding yourself and habit breaking. So feel free to use these interchangeably. It's my recommendation, because I think that when it comes to rewarding yourself, it certainly helps break down those habits you've already created for yourself. So I got a lot of good suggestions from an article on Inc.com, from a book about is a book by a motivational speaker named Jen Shirkani. And she's a motivational speaker. You guys know how I feel about that, so take it for what it's worth. But
John Tesh, PETA, and motivational speakers, we're coming for you.
We're coming for all y'all. We got to set more specific goals.
Yeah, we're going to make a hit list of our biggest enemies, and we're going to conquer them this year. Yeah, facts.
We're going to take them all down. So her idea is, before you start anything, recognize how you like to be rewarded for success. Like, how do you get the most reward out of something? Do you like public recognition? Do you like the feeling of being challenged and overcoming that challenge? Do you like learning and developing yourself? Do you like advancing in your career? Do you like monetary or other material incentives?
Do you like subscribe and review?
Oh. You went a different direction. Do you like making a difference for someone? Do you like having more free time? That's just a few suggestions that they laid out. So once you set your New Year's resolution, set those little goalposts along the way. So if you like public recognition, let's say you lost 5 pounds, make a post on Facebook or Twitter or Instagram, and millions of people will probably like it.
Yeah, tag your ex.
A lot of people will, a lot of people will like it, and that'll give you that public recognition that you like. Or if you like having free time, maybe you hit a milestone and you just sit and watch Netflix for a day, or you have a piece of chocolate cake or something. I don't know, whatever floats your boat. So her idea is that you spark, she calls it, quote, spark to move. You got to find that spark to move. And the reason that most New Year's resolutions fail is because of a lack of motivation. So by setting up these rewards and all these milestones, you can hopefully keep that motivation going. So one other thing I want to point out is sometimes just by setting those small obtainable goals, like I want to walk once a week, that can be reward enough. Because our brains are wired basically to the reward center of our brain. So that's why things become addicting, because we do something and the brain releases a bunch of chemicals that hit the reward center of our brain, and our brain wants to do that over and over again. That's why gaming is addictive, even though it's not something you're ingesting in your body. It affects your brain. So if you reach a goal, your brain will release all those chemicals, those neurotransmitters, and you'll be rewarded and you'll want to do it again.
Yeah, and let's use this public platform to reach out, as I would love to have an app that would motivate me in that way that games do.
Yeah.
Like, I wish that I had a little Morgana from Persona 5 on my phone. Yeah. And whenever I did something off my checklist, I get like a little music note and a +1 to my stats or something.
You've been playing too much Persona.
Not enough.
So on the other hand, your brain likes to shortcut things, and it forms habits as a way of conditioning your body into the quickest way of getting a reward. So I'm really bad at chewing my nails, and
you want to get better at it this year?
No, yeah. My worst habit is biting my nails.
Yeah, not bad at it. They look good. They look trimmed.
Awful, man. From a distance, maybe. Get up close to these bad boys. So for me, it's a quick sense of satisfaction. They look like you just gnaw off that gnarly looking nail, like, ah, look at that. So your brain latches onto that quick satisfaction, and then that's what forms the habit.
Mm-hmm.
So the other part of New Year's resolution is breaking and setting new habits. So the trick is tricking your brain into thinking the thing you want is just as easy as any other thing that you do throughout the day, any other habit you've already formed. The other thing is to look at habits on a much bigger scale than we normally do, because when we talk about bad habits, we're like, oh, I chew my nail, I'm a smoker, I drink too much. Like, it goes beyond that. Habits are conditioning of your body. So eating at the same time every day is a habit. Driving the same route to work is a habit. Stopping and getting that coffee in the morning is a habit. So you kind of got to look at these much bigger than we usually do, because you can use those to, like, I don't want to say hack your brain, but you can form new habits by latching onto the habits you've already created. And I think that that's really effective. So let's say you want to go on a walk once a week. Just say on Wednesdays, after I'm done eating dinner, because I know you hate it when I say supper.
It's not a real word.
After I eat dinner on Wednesdays,
I know it's hard
for
you. I appreciate it.
Because you're going to eat dinner at the same time every day, and once you're done, you go for a walk. That's a new habit that you're forming. Or if you stop and get that coffee every morning, maybe instead of getting a coffee, you get a smoothie.
Ooh.
And you're getting something, you're going through that drive-thru.
That's probably less healthy, though.
A smoothie?
I mean, it sounds sugary.
Like a real fruit smoothie? Probably better than coffee. Coffee has sugar in it, too, dude.
Not black coffee.
Well, okay. So yeah, just latch onto those. And a lot of people, a lot of websites said that you basically just need to make sure you practice it for the first, if you're going to do this for your New Year's resolution, practice it for the first week.
Okay. So you said you were thinking about doing it. What's your goal? What are you going to do?
Me?
Yeah.
What am I thinking about doing?
You said you might do a New Year's resolution.
Oh, we'll talk about it after the break later.
All right.
But if you practice your habit for, like, I always hear, like, it takes 17 days to form a habit. It takes 48 days to form a habit. No, you can form a habit in like 7 days. So just stick with it for that 1 week, and that might be enough.
Mm-hmm.
And it's also important to remind yourself that you're not perfect, and you will relapse into your old habits. And that's one thing that every single website pointed out, is that you will go back to eating unhealthy or buying that cup of coffee or whatever, taking the elevator instead of the stairs.
Yeah.
But that's part of the learning process.
Sometimes people work that into stuff. You always hear people have cheat days or whatever.
Yeah, you can set up those cheat days. But the important thing is, if you do relapse, you can't just be like, well, I screwed up. New Year's resolution's broken. I can't accomplish it anymore.
Yeah.
And I feel like that's the biggest thing for me, because like, I wanted to eat less meat after doing the pita episode. And then I'd be like, that chicken looks really good. So I'd eat the chicken sandwich. And then I'm like, well, I'm screwed for this week. I'll start next week.
Yeah.
But just because you let yourself cheat a little bit doesn't mean you have to give up on the whole thing entirely.
Right.
So that's important to remind yourself. And I guess on it, going back to forming habits, try to think of the way that we form habits. It's, again, the brain's way of shortcutting to make life easier. Brain is, it's very lazy. And it's like, if I can get quick and easy satisfaction by either chewing my nails or going for a walk, I'm going to chew my nails because I don't have to go anywhere.
Yeah.
So make it super easy for yourself to form these new habits. So if you're like, I want to cut down on drinking soda, just don't keep any in the house. Because the chances of your brain being like, God, I really got to go to Walmart and get some soda, versus staying home and just not drinking soda, your brain's going to be like, I'm just going to stay home.
I've lost weight that way. There was a moment in time where I didn't have access to my car and I worked from home.
Yeah.
And it was so easy to like eat healthier when that's all you have.
Yeah, absolutely. Just like, your brain is very lazy. So use that to your advantage. Just don't keep that stuff in the house, you know? Make it just as easy to form these new habits. But the last thing, and I don't think that this would work for me, but it certainly works for some people. It's like a little bit of self-motivation. But there are some things, some habits that you might have conditioned yourself to do during certain times. Like, I bite my nails while I'm sitting, not doing anything. So I bite my nails while I'm sitting at a computer, or while I'm driving or watching Netflix or something like that. So for some people, it might help to put a note like on your steering wheel that says, ew, what are you doing? Or something like that. You
or,
know?
bitterant on your nails.
Yeah, that's true too. Yeah. So you know that you're going to be doing something like some people only smoke when they're at the bar.
Yeah.
Just like put a note on your dashboard when you're going to the bar and being like, are you going to smoke, you dirty bird? Like that kind of stuff. You
dirty bird
box. You dirty
you
bird
said,
box.
You said, let's go over this real quick.
Yeah.
And we'll talk about how American we are. You've said two birds, one stone.
Yeah. I said feed two birds with one scone. Get it right.
You said schools of thought.
Yeah.
I don't know. We use a lot of metaphors.
Yeah. Is that okay?
I think it's okay. I think you're trying to put all your eggs in one basket, Nick.
I was going to try to think of another one, but I couldn't. So let's move on. Do you have anything else for New Year's resolutions? Because I sure don't.
I think that's it.
You know what we haven't done in a while?
What's that?
Do you want a recap for me?
Oh, wow.
It's been a while, huh?
Yeah, I guess so. Okay. So back in Babylonia.
Yeah. Babylon 5.
We were all eating dirt.
Yes, we were.
We were tan and happy in the sun.
Yeah.
We were throwing rocks at each other.
Yeah. And someone's like, maybe I should throw less rocks.
Maybe I should throw less rocks at my dad.
Yeah.
And my grandpa. And grandpa was happy with it. And then his grandpa was probably like 30 because people lived to like 32.
Yeah.
Kind of sad, but it is what it is.
Yeah.
And now we still do that. We don't throw rocks at our grandpa. And
if we do, the
gods smile down on us. Yeah. Except now we could post about it on Facebook.
Yeah.
So you could post a picture of your grandpa without bruises on his head because of the rocks.
Yeah. That was a weird recap. I remember why we stopped doing them.
Oh, let's come back after the break.
You know what the nicest thing you could do for the new year would be, people?
Leave us a review?
Leave us a review on iTunes. We just got a new review from Agent Billow.
Whoa.
Thank you, Agent Billow.
I have an idea of who he is, and he's got very beautiful frozen eyebrows.
Well, Bill left us a review. The title is Good Smart Podcast, and it was 5 stars, man.
What?
Yeah. They said, I can feel...
That's the minimum amount of stars.
This feels like you wrote it. I can feel my frontal brain lobes embiggening with each episode I hear.
Yes, that does sound like me. I did not write that, though.
Yeah. So you can leave us a review on iTunes or wherever you listen to this podcast. There's a couple other things you can do to support this show, though.
Mm-hmm.
Some, like, monetary things.
Yeah.
Maybe you're like, I want to help some people out. You can go to patreon.com/flyingmachine.
That's right. We are doing really cool stuff in 2019 with live shows and streams and stuff like that.
For $1 a month, you get exclusive like Patreon live streams.
Mm-hmm.
So we played Quiplash, and then the network did a Secret Santa, so we live streamed that event. And hey, if you join, you can go back and watch those. We have them all up on YouTube for you. You can go check them out. That'd be super awesome. And then we can also shout you out on the show if you're like, hey, I want a little bit of public recognition.
There you go. There's your goal.
Yeah.
To be famous on Stranger Still.
Yeah. Your New Year's resolution is to be our favorite people. I'm deciding that for you. So my New Year's resolution, I need to stop procrastinating. So I'm starting with specific goals, which is to, this isn't for this podcast, but for my other podcast, Limited Cell, which you can find at limitedcell.com.
A generational Hanna-Barbera
cartoon review show.
Okay.
That I do with my dad. I always like watch the cartoons on like the day before we have to record. So I'm like binging all these episodes. And I get really burnt out on them because they're not meant to be binged. They're meant to be watched once a week on Saturday mornings.
And some are bad.
And some of them are really bad. So I want to spread them out. Like I'll watch, because we record on Sundays, I'll watch one episode on like Friday and two episodes on Saturday, and maybe a couple on like Thursday or Sunday or something like that. Spread that out a little bit more. That's my New Year's resolution.
That's pretty good.
What about you? You got one?
I think I'd like to see my abdominals, you know?
Want to see your abs?
Yeah. I've gotten to the point where I could see from the side.
You can just look down, man.
I can't see them in the middle.
Just take a permanent marker.
And then, or maybe I'll get an x-ray machine.
Yeah, that's true, too. I was going a strong bad email route.
Oh, like
Abber 2000 or whatever.
Is that what he did?
Draws abs on himself.
That'd probably look good. I'll do that, too. That's like a cheat code.
Yeah. Real-life cheat codes. I've never liked New Year's resolutions, though, just because I don't like celebrating useless stuff.
Yeah.
Like, I don't, like, I'm not excited about my birthday anymore because, like, I don't give a crap. I certainly don't care that the Earth has been around for how long and we're like, hey, another one. Cool. Like, who cares? On the Earth, like, even on the Earth scale of time, it's a complete drop in the bucket to the point where I'm like, who cares?
Well, it's a sign of intelligence. to be depressed with the awareness of existentialism.
Yeah, but then like even on the scale of the universe, it's even less significant. So who cares?
Yeah, but then, we exist.
We could
easily not.
I should just let myself enjoy life.
Yeah.
Maybe.
No, I feel that way all the time.
That's a good idea.
I have this overwhelming apathy where I'm like, And I didn't know how to voice it for a very long time.
Yeah.
But I was like, how could anyone care about anything? I don't get it. Yeah. How can anyone be excited about a movie, a TV show, a friendship?
It's easy to fall down that rabbit hole.
Yeah.
I don't know. One of my mantras is smart people are smart enough to know how stupid and insignificant they are.
Yeah.
This is getting way off topic, but the reason I think people like Donald Trump or Kanye West are stupid is because they don't realize how not smart and insignificant they are.
Yeah.
Like Kanye thinks he's Jesus.
Yeah.
You're not, dude, and you can't realize it. And maybe that's mental health stuff, but at the same time, it takes a little bit of self-awareness and smarts.
And there's some envy in the ignorance is bliss as well.
Yeah.
I mean, they do not seem like happy people, but...
Yeah. So that's just my editorial for the end of this episode. Now that everyone's unsubscribed to us because I don't like Kanye West, I'm still Nick.
I'm still John.
This is Stranger Still.
I give you the incredible flying machine.